All right, this one just jumps right kind of into it because we started talking too early. So there's a little intro. This podcast 8, Cowboys Ride for Free. It starts now.
All right, well, so we'll start
on because it sounds like they're going to wait until the legal stuff goes through in Texas. So, how long will that be? Will that be?
I don't think he means until it's resolved. I think he just means until it's. Just until more of the facts come out, what the actual charges are. I almost kind of get the impression Gundy reacted the same way everyone did and just saw the letters DUI and assumed something really bad.
Yeah.
And the way it was, he's only going to get fined, and that's only going to be up to $500, and that's all that is. So, apparently it's the same thing as a speeding. It's the same as a traffic citation is what they're saying. But what sucks is that nobody in Oklahoma is going to know that. They're just going to hear DUI and jump all over it.
Right.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah, they've got bigger fish to fry in Texas, and they, it's just a different, it's a different deal. Oh well, fuck it.
All right. By the way, we started the podcast. We're not repeating
good.
All that. Any other thoughts on Blackmon? Suspension guesses? A half? A game? For K-State? Are we going to see him?
I heard my good personal friend, Pat Jones, today say that if it were him, he would run his ass all week. And make him practice.
Yep.
And then let him play and tell him before the game, if we don't win this game, you're going to continue to run your ass off next week. And I tend to agree with that. I don't think he's suspending the guy. He's a 20-year-old kid. Obviously he was probably actually being the responsible one. Maybe having a beer. Driving 92 miles an hour is a little crazy, but, I've done it, and I'm a very conservative guy, and so
I think Pat Jones comes from the old school where you just don't suspend anybody for anything. You just run their asses, and then they play the game. Because that's what he was talking about with he said the same thing about Blatnick and Peter Dustin. He's like, if it were me, run him up and down the stairs and then put him in the game. Don't suspend him at all. I think that's just that old school mentality that they have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like old school coaches like that, they're not very PC. They're not very, you've got to sit him because you've got to teach him a life lesson.
That's a great impression of Pat Jones.
Put all the whatnot and what have you.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to kind of two sides to it. There's, do you treat it from a legal perspective as legally it's the same as him getting a ticket for going 30 miles an hour over the speed limit? Would you suspend someone for doing that? Obviously not. And then the other side of it is the public image of the letters DUI being out there, regardless of what he actually did or didn't. The idea of starting a guy the next week that has a headline earlier in the week that says DUI.
I don't think there's any way he doesn't sit out a game for that fact. But I think people, it's one beer, Gundy doesn't have time to explain that to everyone. So it's easier to just say he's out a game. Yes, for perception. So because. I can honestly see it blowing up if Gundy lets him play. You've got Mothers Against Drunk Driving going crazy, and seriously, it all blowing up to where it's just like irresponsible that a kid can go drink, get behind the wheel, go 90 miles an hour, and he has no repercussions whatsoever. So I can definitely see both sides, and I think he'll have to pay, unfortunately, probably a game. For it.
Because of the way Texas, because of the way they label their minors driving while intoxicated law.
Just the way it was, just the way it was reported, you know, just the way that, I mean, the bottom line is, if you go to ESPN.com, the headline is, Oklahoma State wide receiver Justin Blackman gets DUI.
Or if you go to Cowboys right for free. Does that?
right. But I mean, you know, so you know, my, you know, grandparents that check ESPN or, you know, whoever. Joe Schmoe checks ESPN. They do.
Yeah, he has very advanced grandparents.
They're only like 40. no, but I mean, I guess my point is, anybody that checks ESPN, that's all they're going to see. They're not going to read the fucking, you know, the detail that he, you know, it was in Texas and DUIs are different in Texas and he may or may not have only had one beer and he was with a DD. They're not going to read that stuff, you know. All they're going to see is DUI, and I just think when it comes down to it, he's going to have to be forward, and Gundy's going to have to he's going to have to be the head coach and make the tough decision.
Agreed. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. I think if their law called it an MIP or something instead of DUI, it wouldn't be as big a deal. It really just comes down to what that text is, and we'll –
right.
I guess we'll see how the perception weighs out, but I mean, we don't even have all the facts yet either. Maybe he blew a 1.2 or a 0.12 or something. We don't even know it, but I mean,
I mean, I think we probably have some good connections with legal teams in Texas if, you know, our P. Boone connection, you know, extends. And so if he has a good attorney that can maybe get that charge reduced, to where it is just a speeding ticket or it is just a minor in possession or, I mean, you know, just a reduced charge to where it's, I mean, I think what it comes down to is DUI. And if it stands as a DUI or a DWI, he's going to pay a game. And I just don't know if we're going to be able to find that out before Saturday.
Yeah. And I don't even want to get into the hypotheticals of what we'll do without him. We can get into that when we find out what's going to happen. But it'll be interesting to see this offense without him if it comes to that for a half or whatever. But moving on, I think we got that down. Nebraska game, Royal, quickly. I know we've written about it quite a bit, but what do you come away from it with? Good feelings, bad feelings, indifferent feelings, just two teams that played all right, but we came out on the bad end. What do you think?
I think that, and you know, just like how I wrote, there was good and bad that came from it, but, and you know, it's just one of those things you freak out about, and then you have to come back down to earth and realize that you're still 6-1, and you're still doing a hell of a lot better than anybody projected you were going to do during the season in the first place. And, I mean, if you can put 41 points up on Nebraska, you can pretty much put 41 points up on anybody less on your schedule. I think that's the biggest thing that they're going to come away with. In fact, I read an article saying, or, you know, Gundy in the press conference was talking about how, you know, the athletes were a little bit more, you know, sad or whatever after this one, obviously, than the other ones. And not everybody was just chipper because of the loss. But I think, you know, they need something like that to happen so, you know, they can work harder. But in the end, it's just one loss, and it's a loss versus a really good team. So I don't think it hurts as much as, you know what I mean, as everyone is kind of being traumatic about just because it's the first loss. But there are definitely a lot of things that have to be fixed. I mean, and I wrote about it. I mean, I really, really do not like this soft zone defense that Bill Young's playing. And I really am starting to get on the bandwagon. I mean, I've never thought I would be one of those guys that's like, you know, fire a coach, but I mean, I just don't think that Joe DeForest is the guy for the job.
Wait, what's going on? Guys, I'm in my neighbor's backyard.
I thought for Cincy was like going, whoa, don't say anything about fire a coach.
No, he's being attacked by a dog.
uh, This podcast is full of wind.
Yeah.
I can't wait to write in the summary headline of this here about Cincy being attacked by a dog. All right, good. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, man. Yeah, basically, it comes down to it. I think we just need to do a better job all around. The players have to tackle much better. 33 missed tackles is not going to get it done, especially when your two leaders on defense, Lori Lemon and Markel Martin, were responsible for those missed tackles combined. So that needs to get better, and I really think Bill Young needs to figure out something good to do on third down. Hit three down linemen. We just don't have the bigs up front that are going to be able to get a push and pressure the quarterback on our own. And, you know, the more we do that, the more we're going to make average quarterbacks look like, you know, All-Americans like we did with Martinez.
Right.
Yep.
Cincy?
I think that's
on the Nebraska game?
Yeah, I mean, that's my concern is, you know, we did make Martinez who, you know, hadn't thrown that many touchdown passes over the course of the season, you know, kind of do it in one game. And we took their running game away, and he just killed us. And my fear is that that's going to open up a can of worms, and that's going to kind of be what a team like Kansas State can do, you know, where – yeah, we always run the ball, but and our quarterback's, you know, by no means a great passing quarterback, but he's a quarterback at a Big 12 school, and he's, you know, he knows how to throw the ball to some extent. And as long as you can get past our defense and you know, get open, you can throw the ball on them. And that's kind of my fear is that that's the playbook moving forward, and people that have, you know, maybe a little bit better passing attack than Nebraska, which wouldn't be much.
Which is everyone.
Which really, I mean, you look at our remaining schedule and, you know, gosh, you look at a team like Kansas State, you look at a team like Kansas, you look at a team like Baylor, and those guys can throw the ball. I mean, maybe not Kansas, but that's kind of my take from it. Is this going to open up a can of worms, and can our defense respond and get better against the pass? Because if they can't, it could be pretty brutal, and we could. You know, the upside to that is that we're in shootouts and our offense is good enough that, you know, do I think Kansas State, Kansas, Baylor can outscore us in a shootout? And the answer is no. But, I mean, you look at those Texas Tech teams, they kind of fell into the same trap. If they ever played a really good defensive team that could stop them or slow them down, you know, and that they could play with, they didn't win a lot of those games. And you know, that's my fear is that's going to be the case.
Well, and I mean, I think we got into a little bit of a, I mean, we just got caught in our scheme in a way too. I mean, I know we missed tackles, but I mean, we really just did not plan on Taylor Martinez being able to make reads like he was doing there. I mean, I think it's going to be accepted that he can technically throw a football. He's a quarterback. He threw some in high school. I mean, he can throw the ball. I just don't think, I almost kind of feel like Nebraska offensive coordinators just basically said, well, this is what's available. Let's try it. Let's see if the kid can do it. And he kind of could. And we just didn't adjust fast enough. And I mean, that sort of became the game. But, I mean, kind of my whole takeaway from this though is, I mean, if we wanted to play that, you know, everyone talked about the week before with, you know, Nebraska could have beat Texas if they wouldn't have dropped this pass and this pass or what have you. But, I mean, that's pretty common theme across any game. And we really played pretty evenly with Nebraska for most of that game. The fourth quarter was pretty bad when our defense wore down and our offense just wasn't that productive until that last drive that didn't really matter a whole lot. But, I mean, we pretty well played with them. The offensive stats were about equal across the board. I mean, we just ended up on the wrong side. If we make a couple of those picks on some of those stupid throws Martinez made, you know, she made about four or five of that we just couldn't come up with. You know, a couple little things go the other way at some point in the game. I mean, I wrote about it. That pick that Martin dropped that was right in his hands, and it's a three-point game if he makes that with, like, 8 minutes left. And there were just a couple things like usual. I don't think we really just got manhandled. We kind of, after those last couple drives in the fourth quarter really took the wind out of us, I think we came away sort of feeling like that, but it wasn't that type of game at all. I mean, I think it was a pretty evenly played game. We just ended up on the short end.
I absolutely agree, and I think that with that Martin play, that was one of the few times that we actually blitzed and put pressure on Martinez on a third and long, and Martin almost came up with a pick, and that's exactly my point. I mean, when you're playing a kid like Martinez who's a redshirt freshman, the more time you give him to make passes, the more confidence he gets.
Right.
Better he's going to do.
Right.
So if you constantly pressure him like Texas did, even if you take the chance of, you know what I mean, them making a third and long conversion, well, they're already making third and long conversions.
Right.
So what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
You might as well try something different. So, and then when we blitzed him and he threw that pass, and Martin should have had that pick. And there were plenty other times where that could have been the situation, and we may have ended up scoring. So, I don't know. Hopefully that's something that's looked at, and hopefully that's something that changes, because what we're doing right now is obviously not working at all.
It definitely makes me scared of Baylor a little more, seeing how he handled a dual threat quarterback, but a little more than I was before that game. But outside of that, I think our defense can still bend and not break against most of these balanced teams. Like leading into our opponent this week, Kansas State. That was beautiful right there.
What, yes, it was.
Thank you.
You've been working.
Thank you. So, I guess Royal, Kansas State coming up this week, just got done basically getting run all over by Baylor. They made the score a little closer in the end, but gave up 700 yards of offense to Baylor.
Yes.
What do you think about this one?
Well, their defense is pretty bad. I mean, they're slow. I mean, everyone saw that when they played Nebraska, but I mean, even with Baylor, and I know Baylor's better this year, but Baylor still lost to Texas Tech on the neutral field. So to me, all that means is that, K-State just isn't there yet. I think that whether or not Blackman's playing in this game, I think our offense is still going to be able to put up some numbers. Hunter is still going to get a ton of yards. And I think that it'll come down to our defense being able to stop the run. I think that in this case, they're going to be a little bit more one-dimensional than Nebraska was. And I don't think that they necessarily have the same athletes. So we're going to be a bit more successful on, getting to the quarterback and, clogging the lanes and doing all those things. And it's just a matter now of whether or not we can turn around the fundamentals and start tackling, because if you can't, get a couple of hits on the running back, Daniels, and you're just, he's going to burn you, and he's going to keep burning you, and the longer the defense stays on the field, the more worn out they're going to get. So I think open field tackling is going to be a really, really big thing.
Yeah. Agreed. If I can throw out my favorite stat real quick before you go ahead, Cincy. I'll save this stat for a little bit. What's your take?
I'm really... I'm a little nervous, honestly. I think going to Manhattan may or may not have Blackman. They've got a very good running back in Daniel Thomas. They beat UCLA, who beat Texas. I don't think we've won in Manhattan in a long time. Again, you look at it, going into that Nebraska game, all I heard was Martinez has one touchdown in the last three games or whatever, five games or whatever it was. Carson Kaufman, although he has a great name, hasn't been a great passing quarterback. But, you know, neither had Martinez. And, you know, yes, Kansas State has looked very one-dimensional up to this point. But, you know, have they played a defense that gives up as many yards and that bends as much as Oklahoma State? Maybe not. And, you know, I can really see it us kind of getting into a shootout type situation with them. And if you don't have Justin Blackmon, you know, it comes down to how much can Kendall Hunter and the other wide receivers do, and how does Whedon respond not only to, you know, a loss, which he really hasn't dealt with, how does he respond to not having Blackmon, and how do they respond on the road to a team where, you know, maybe they scout and, you know, they don't come in thinking they can throw the ball, and Coffin throws a couple of bombs like Martinez did, and you know, we're down 7 or 14 points. So I'm nervous. It's the first game I've really, and I thought we would win that Nebraska game, and I'm just a little nervous we've been exposed, and that our defense will continue to bend and break.
Well, the to answer the question there, last time we won in Manhattan was 88. In that season, we've lost 6 in a row there. In that season, Kansas State was 0-11, so big win that year.
that was their decade maker. That's what that was.
That was a huge one.
I mean, we had one in Lubbock and since, you know, the dawn
right.
of time.
Yeah, I don't I think mean, it would matter a whole lot.
I don't think it matters, and also I think that as long as we can tackle well, I just don't think that K-State has the same kind of athletes as Nebraska. I see K-State having the same type of athletes as Texas Tech, to be honest.
Their defense is low.
Yeah, their defense
low,
is abysmal.
Yeah.
And I think that if Robert Griffin can put up tons of passing yards with the receivers he has, I'm fairly sure that Whedon can put up those same numbers. I don't think they'll be able to keep up with us on scoring. I don't think that their defense, or their offense, rather, is going to have as much success as Nebraska's just because they don't have the same type of athletes. I just don't think that they do. I think besides Daniel Thomas, I don't think they have much else. I know the quarterback has a really cute name, according to Cincy, but
hot name.
The double C.
Are you ready for my favorite stat?
Yeah.
So I was doing some special teams research here. Oklahoma State is now not dead last in the nation in kickoff coverage. They're second to last, averaging 34.4 yards per return. New Mexico is dead last, averaging 34.5. What's funny about that, though, is Oklahoma State has given up 3 touchdowns, so 3 basically 100-yard returns. New Mexico State has not given up a kickoff return touchdown all year. But yet opponents are still averaging 35 yards per return. I don't even know how that's possible.
Did you just kick out of bounds?
I don't know. But that's not even my favorite part. Guess which team is number one in average kickoff returns? Kansas State.
Great.
Averaging 30 yards per return.
Yeah.
They've got this dude. What's his name? Hold on. I'm finding it. Something Powell. I got to find his first name. That's their backup running back. That's just kind of like a lightning to the thunder of Daniel
Jacob
Thomas.
Pullen?
Yes, it's Pullen. It's William Powell. Kind of like the old the lightning thunder sort of approach. And Powell dude's quick, about Kendall Hunter size, and he returns all their kicks. And he returned one for a touchdown last week against Baylor. And he's their main kicker.
He's going to take one back. Put money on it. Oh, I mean, I'll guarantee it right now. That's my lock of the week. He will take one back.
It is the lock of the week. I mean, they're number one in the nation, averaging 29, just over 29 yards per return.
You know what?
How soon do we go to
they're going to take two back.
Gosh, Cincy, come on, man.
That's my lock. They are going to take two back. Two touchdown returns, two kick returns for touchdowns.
Well, and then the thing, they only have, last week was the first time they've run one back for a touchdown. So, I mean, the 30 seems to be fairly legit as far as an average. They don't take a lot back. I mean, considering how high that average is, it's kind of shocking. They've only had one touchdown, but.
I mean, you get up there to Manhattan and it's windy and it, you know, yeah, who knows? And they, you know, Sharp can't boot it and in the end zone and 14 points.
Every kickoff. Every time we score, they're taking it right back.
It's going to be so hot and cold with this. Like last week, Nebraska wasn't going to score more than 13 points. And now K-State's going to run back every single kickoff and punt that we give them.
As for my take on the whole game, I'm not really into the – I don't think we really got exposed too much against Nebraska. I mean, I don't know that they really did any more against us than A&M did. We just ended up on the wrong end of the stick this time. And, I mean, that happens. Our defense isn't that good. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's not that good. Whether it's the scheme, whether it's the personnel, I kind of feel like it's mostly the depth, personally, more than anything. I don't think Bill can run the – even though he's got the players to do it, I don't think he can completely run the schemes he wants to run because we don't have the depth. We've got a first team that can maybe run it, but not guys behind him that can do it, especially in the secondary, really everywhere. The secondary, line, linebackers, all of them, once you get past about that one or two other people that rotate in, you really don't have much. But, I mean, I still think we'll come out of Manhattan with a win. Maybe not as comfortable as a win as I thought before last week, but I think we're at a neutral site. I think we're 3 touchdowns to 4 touchdowns better than Kansas State. Maybe in Manhattan we're 2 touchdowns better. But, I mean, their defense is so slow. I really think we're going to be able to score about at will, with or without Blackman. With Blackman for sure, obviously. But, and as far as on our side, when they have the ball, it'll just be about maintaining them. We can stop the run. We've kind of proven that. I mean, I shouldn't say stop. We can contain a running game somewhat. Kaufman, I mean, he can throw. He hasn't been outstanding all year. I mean, nothing about their offense has really been that outstanding. So, I mean, I think we go in there and come out with a win, obviously. Has anyone seen the line yet? I haven't seen it.
I have not.
I've got the line right here, and it's Kansas State minus 14.
You're such an asshole.
And that's just the special teams line. That's all that is. Yeah. It's not even the whole game.
If that's the line, I'm going to Vegas tomorrow. That'd be ridiculous.
We're favored by 4, opening line.
Okay.
It's moved to 5.5 in one of them, but it opened at 4.
I think we'll come away with a win. I think you're absolutely right. I think it'll be closer than we want it, and it may end up coming down to special teams. I'm trying to figure out exactly how quickly we move to the pooch kick on kickoff. I think it depends, obviously, on the winds that night. But I mean,
hey, maybe we do some strategy where we only score when we're moving into the wind. So our kickoffs go in, or with the wind, I should say. So our kickoffs go with the wind.
Well, revolutionary. That's a whole lot of Brandon Wheaton throwing the ball up in the air and getting stuck and just Blackman having to turn around even though he had 3 steps on a lick and pop and having to turn around and catch a jump ball.
I think Whedon does that on purpose sometimes. The flea flicker, he threw that as hard as he could. That was 65 yards downfield.
Yeah, that's true.
The other one was underthrown, though, but Blackman made a great catch on it. Yeah. The other one did have a step. But, all right, any final thoughts on K-State?
No. We'll get predictions, I guess, for Friday.
Yeah, we'll put those in the thread. I think we're all going to pick a win, except maybe Cincy. And maybe that'll have to be one of the prediction categories, is number of kickoff returns. I think we're good. Keep a reading. Cowboys Ride for Free. Podcast 8, I think, later.